Welcome to another Car Unload Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, mate, it's soccer fever.
Soccer, football, please.
Football, soccer.
At this time of the year, and this time of the sort of 4 years, was it 4 years since the last one?
Yeah.
We've got to say football because it's an international sport. What are we talking about, by the way?
We're talking about the World Cup of soccer.
Is there anything bigger than the World Cup?
Olympics?
Do you think?
Yes.
I think. But the World Cup would have to come a close second. Do you think? I mean, is there anything? I mean, Olympics may be a given. Okay, that's a big sport.
Yep.
But from this sort of like soccer or football is the world sport, isn't it?
Like, I agree.
So I'm not. I don't know the stats on the viewing public, but I think it would be pretty close.
I think the difference is when you look at the World Cup, it is dominated. Every single final has been played by teams from either Europe or South America. Whereas the Olympics encompass Asia, USA, even Australia. So the Olympics would be wider.
And probably England or Great Britain at the Olympics maybe do better at the Olympics than they have done in the World Cup.
Oh, absolutely. England have got the 1966 to put on their trophy cabinet and that's it.
Isn't it interesting? Because I think, I'm not sure if it's anywhere, but living in Australia, growing up in Australia, I mean, obviously, we've probably followed Australian rules football more, but certainly coming from the northern suburbs where there's been a strong English presence, you always thought of England being, and I guess with the Premier League, it's such a big competition, isn't it, worldwide competition, but I know it's such a sore point when you talk about World Cup wins and the English, who sort of, like, people think maybe it's a home of soccer.
Yeah. But we, like you said, though, we come from an Anglo-Saxon background. The English ancestry is very strong in the people that have been here for a few generations. So that's probably where our belief in the English Premier League is probably a belief that that is stronger. Yet you look at the results and your Italy's and your Germany's and your Brazil, they're the ones that dominate and win World Cups.
Well, we saw the last World Cup, just the passion. You know, Brazil, like the South Americans have for soccer. I remember a while back where actually one of the soccer players, was it Colombia?
Yes.
Shot,
yeah.
Because they
let in the goal.
And then you realise how important it is.
Oh, look, it's unbelievable the passion that they have for soccer in many countries. It's interesting about this point of order about soccer and football because, you know, even soccer people in Australia are saying that, you know, we're the football association, but the Australian team are called the Socceroos.
I know, and I certainly know amongst the kids at school that this, I still use the term soccer, but they prefer football.
Yep.
And of course, we grow up thinking AFL football.
Yep.
But, you know, I think in this, we've got to bow to the fact that this is an international sport played by millions of people around the world and watched by millions of people around the world.
Well, I've seen some pretty good soccer games, or if you want to call it association football in my life as well. I just like sport, and I enjoy a good game of soccer. I enjoy a good game of footy. I get bored with a bad game of football and a bad game of soccer.
Well, let's talk about the World Cup.
Okay.
Because it's about to start.
And, of course, this is Australia's fourth consecutive World Cup and fifth overall.
Well, when you consider that, I think it's the 70s, mid-70s.
74.
And then we've made the last four. And so I think, and certainly football or soccer in Australia has been growing rapidly. And they're competing at a junior level against probably our biggest sport now for young kids playing. So it certainly has captured the imagination. And for our national team to make the last four World Cups, I think is a fabulous achievement.
And, of course, I'm really happy to see that Tim Cahill is playing again. He scored goals in 06, 10 and 14, so he is Mr. Soccer or Mr. Football for Australia.
Well, he's the man we sort of look for, isn't it? I mean, there's certainly going to be a lot of pressure on him when he gets out in the field, and I don't imagine he'll be out there all the time, but I think he might be our secret weapon. But so I hope for his sake, it'd be great, probably it'd be the end of his really international career, I imagine, and so it'd be great for him to go out with a great result, plus hopefully get a score again. And make it four in a row.
I think with Costigroup coaching Australia, I think Cale was just about ready to retire, but with the changeover, I think it's he's looking for a bit of experience, the coach, and brought Cale back in, so I think that was a good move.
Our new coach from the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Bert van Marwijk.
I'm glad you pronounced it.
I think that's how you say it, and I think it's the silent J. But, of course, Netherlands, he was coaching them in 2010 when they made it to the final. They lost to Spain, but I think that was in overtime. So he was coaching against Australia in this actual qualifying period. Okay. So interesting choice, but obviously he's been around, and we've had coaches from the Netherlands before. He's confident. He's confident that Australia, in fact, I read a quote, he's actually saying we're there not just to be competitive, he wants to win.
And, of course, in the silly season of World Cup soccer, you have octopuses and all that picking the winners. What is it this time? And apparently they've picked Australia to go through to the 16.
This is a really interesting concept. I think I always feel sorry for the Socceroos at World Cup because we are ranked out of the actual teams, 32 teams, we are ranked 27th.
Yep.
So that sort of puts you in perspective. If we look at our draw, our group that we're playing in, we've got France who are ranked 4th.
Yep.
Denmark 16th and Peru 30th. That's in terms of the teams in the World Cup, not their actual FIFA rankings.
Yep.
Their FIFA rankings are slightly different. We're ranked 36th there, for example. If you look at that figures, you're going to say we have no chance of getting out of our group. However, not according to Psychic Davey the Quokka. So I saw this on TV, and Davey the Quokka, what they did was had 4 bowls of food out. And he went out and had a sniff of them all. But the first one he went to where he had a taste was Australia. So Davey the Psychic Quokka has chosen Australia to win their group, followed by France.
Well, I suppose there's a little bit of national pride there for him.
I wonder what they put in the Australian bowl.
Probably something that Quokka likes. And, you know, when you look at it, though, to be realistic, France are going to be tough. They are the toughest team to beat in our section, which is Group C. Now, you look at Peru. I can't recall Peru being in for 30-odd years. When was the last time Peru was in the World Cup?
I'm just going to take a wild guess. No, I actually read this. 36 years.
Okay.
So, that, you know, again, you think this is our 4th in a row in Peru, even though they're ranked much higher than us. This is their first time in 36 years. So these are the things that you can't quantify, isn't it? Like we've been there now 4 in a row. We've got people like Tim Cale who's got all that experience. We've got a coach who's taken a team to the championship final. So they're things that are difficult to quantify. And Peru, 36 years since they represented their country at the World Cup.
Well, you look at it, you'd be hoping for a win against either Peru and Denmark and a draw against the other, and perhaps pinch a draw against France, and that'll get you through.
That will. And so you certainly think this week, this first game against France is going to be the sort of, that's going to put us in what position we're in. So if we can have a good game against France even, and there's predictions all around from a draw to getting beaten 4-0, there's some people predicting that even if Australia score during their group games will be a good thing for us.
Gene, when you look at the history of the World Cup, dates back to 1930, and like I said previously, it's dominated by European and South Americans. And Brazil, they've won 5, that's the most, and they've got a pretty famous guy called Pelé, who... a lot of people may not have, but he played in 4... he scored in 4 World Cups.
He was the youngest person to score a goal. He was 17 years old when he first scored a goal in the World Cup.
Well, he's got 12 of them, and he's played in a number of titles, and he was obviously a key player for them. And I won't ask you to pronounce his full name because not many people do.
Well, when you are known by just a name, you know that you've made it, don't you?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. There's another couple of guys that have won scoring World Cup goals in 4 World Cups. They're both German guys, Klose and Seeler. And Ronaldo, he scored in 3. So it's quite an honour for Cale to be up there.
Well, he's a quality player, isn't he? And so someone who's been at the top of his game internationally. And so it just shows. And again, he's probably a product of soccer, football really growing in Australia. And we have got a number of players, obviously, now playing overseas at a very high level.
Well, you know, it's interesting. When you look at Pelé and Brazil winning their titles, the only title that Pelé didn't win was 1966 when England won, because they won the other three World Cups he was involved in 58, 62 and 70. So he would have to be, in my view, the best player in the world.
These historical arguments are always difficult, aren't they? It's like LeBron James at the moment and Michael Jordan. Everyone's comparing them. And I often think it's impossible to compare players from different eras. But certainly he would be arguably one of the greatest soccer players of all time.
Well, I look at... there's certain names that always sort of hit you, like Muhammad Ali for boxing, Pelé, obviously, for soccer, Michael Jordan for basketball, Babe Ruth for baseball. They weren't necessarily the best players as such, but it's just the impact they had on the game.
I think that's it, isn't it? It's the consistency of performance at the highest level. And so these are guys who want to, you know, when they're the people you want to go to when you need them, at those championship games, at those crunch moments. They step up, and I think that's why they write their names into the history books.
Yeah, I can remember sort of some of the World Cup games that Australia's played in. I remember we played Japan, and they scored early. We were 1-0 down, and then all of a sudden, in like the last 5 minutes of proper time, we scored twice, and then we scored an extra time to win it 3-1. Yep, we were trailing all game.
Well, that's exciting about soccer, isn't it? You can watch a game, and it's as tense as anything. There's no goals scored, and then straight, in fact... there's a great commercial, I won't say the product, but they're out getting their drinks, and of course they're watching, they go out to get their drink, and then the goals are scored, and that can happen because you've got to be there watching the whole time, because it can just be that quick second, whatever it might be, a push forward and they score the goal, and that makes all the difference. So much different than what we're used to. We're high scoring games, and so those tactics and that suspense is, I think that's the attraction, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And just for the record, Australia in 74, they played the three games and they didn't score a goal, but they did pick up a point because they just had that one draw with Chile, 0-0. In 2006, they won one and they drew one. They beat Japan 3-1. And, of course, they had that 2-2 draw with Croatia to go through. And then in a controversial result, they went down 1-0 to Italy. And, of course, Italy went on to win the World Cup. So that was very good. And then in 2010, there was one win and one draw, beat Serbia 2-1, which was a fantastic game, and 1-1 with Ghana. We didn't go through. And then 2014, we played the three games, and we lost them all, but we were competitive.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? And it's hard. That's why it's just very difficult for Australian teams. As you said, like the South Americans and the Europeans have dominated and will continue to dominate this level of competition. And so we're always going to be the underdog. So it's just going to be difficult to know. But leading in, we've played two friendlies, which we've won both of. We beat Czech Republic 4-0, and Hungary we beat 2-1. And from what I read about that, the first half was pretty lethargic, but we came out and scored our two goals in the second half and looked pretty good. So our form coming in is good.
Well, soccer's sort of really taken off in Australia with the A-League, and Allo's had some success there. And it's been in the media. It's got its fair share of coverage. Let's just hope they do the job in Russia and that we come home with a top 16 placing.
Well, I hope so. And I just want to finish. I was lucky enough in 1990 to be training in a German town called Trier. And we would go to a particular restaurant that were very pro-German. They had all their German colours up. But across the road, there was an Italian restaurant. And he had all his colours out as well. So Italy and German. And they were right across in this little cobbled lane. And it was quite funny. We would go to one or the other for dinner or for a drink. And there was a lot of banter across the road. And, of course, Italy got knocked out, I think, in the quarterfinals. The next day we come down. Both of them were in their German colours. And, of course, Germany won. And Trier is a beautiful old city, a beautiful old town with a, you know, I don't know how many thousand years old the square is, but that night we went down there and I think there would have been 10,000 people just singing and dancing, German flags everywhere. And it sort of really you saw a different side to that sport, because again, coming from Australia, watching AFL, etc., to be over there, to be part of that, to actually feel the excitement from the people in Germany was something I'll never forget.
Well, obviously, after it's all finished, we'll have to have a show about how we saw the World Cup, but now, that's it, for another Cut and Laid Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
Aussie, Aussie, Aussie.
Oi, oi, oi.
And I'm Sean Carlin.